verse from Isaiah 57, verse 14, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. And we said that this notion of roads and life as a journey is one that we find throughout the Bible. In fact, you know, the very first name for Christians were people who were followers of the way. They belonged to the way. And as we said, Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. So it's not surprising that Isaiah is talking about building up the roads, removing obstacles. You know, roads have always been important in society. They're the means of getting us from A to B. And we've learned a lot over the years about building roads. We might feel, you know, that a lot more money needs spending on roads locally, but, you know, we've learnt a lot about how to build roads. And Isaiah talks a lot about the way. This verse in chapter 35 and verse 8 says, "And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it." Later on in Isaiah chapter 40, he spoke about John the Baptist. He prophesied about John the Baptist. And he said that he would be a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain." And those images, I think, remind us of the need for straight roads. And that's not easy if your natural landscape's got lots of hills and mountains and rough roads. But it reminds us that God's the one who can make level paths for our feet. Now, the Bible doesn't promise us an easy life, but it does say that God is the one who will make level paths for our feet. You know, there might be lots of twists and turns on life's journey, but God will lead us in paths of righteousness so that we can reach our destination safely. We can think about obstacles in the natural world quite easily. We looked at those pictures of, you know, fallen trees, and I think we've got some more obstacle pictures coming up. Boulders, you know, things that have to be blocked off because of dangers. You just move on, James. Yeah, lots of obstacles there. Hurdles or boulders or things. Naturally, we understand what, you know, an obstacle is. The first part of Isaiah 57, verse 14, looks about building up the road, preparing the road. In essence, that's learning to follow Jesus, isn't it? It's learning to accept that what he said, what he says, is the way to live. And he said that we need to put into practice what he says. You know, you're a wise person if you not only hear my words, but actually do what I say. And for Jesus, the key thing was faith. You know, he said the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. And we, you know, we prepare the road by believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that is the only way for us to get back to God. But once the road is prepared and built up, how do we go about removing the obstacles that would seek to trip us up, you know, and cause us to stumble? Because Jesus said that the road to destruction is broad, but the road that leads to life is narrow. We've got to stay on God's pathway if we're to avoid a sticky end. The children are in there making a narrow road for us to look at, you know, at the end. That path isn't always smooth and straightforward. And, you know, there are many twists and turns and can be many obstacles. But sin, obviously, is the problem. It's the thing that twists the rose. It tempts us off track. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as a result, we've got to face falling trees and boulders and obstacles in the road before us. And the Bible speaks of those things as trials and temptations, things that would seek to divert us from God's paths and ways. The trial could come in a different form. It could be ill health. Could be difficult circumstances, bereavement, disappointment, financial problems. But at the heart of all the trials is that temptation to either trust our own strength, to think that we can make our own way around the obstacles, or to doubt, you know, that God's cares about us. You know, we struggle sometimes to believe that God is really good all the time, no matter what. And if we don't believe the truth about God, to believe in the one he sent, then it's like having an obstacle on the journey that makes it harder. And if an obstacle's big enough, your journey stops. You know, that tree that was falling across the road that we looked at, there wasn't any way that you could sort of bump your car over it, really, was there? You know, you were stuck. Sometimes what happens in those occasions is they put diversions up, don't they? Diversion signs, and they take you, at the moment, they're taking people instead of on the bypass through Goldthorpe or through Thurnscoe and causing a lot of extra traffic that way. Last year, or the year before, I'm not sure which, but we were in Cornwall, we'd gone to visit a friend, and as we were coming back to where we were staying, there was an A road that was blocked off. There was a diversion. Unfortunately, this diversion took us onto a really narrow farm road. It was dark, we couldn't quite know where we were going, and all of a sudden there was a tractor and a trailer coming in the opposite direction towards us. And there was no way that you could get two lots of traffic. And all the cars that had been diverted onto this road had to reverse backwards until we got to a widening where the tractor could get past. That diversion wasn't really very helpful. So diversions, you know, they're not always the best way. How do we remove the obstacles? You know, we can't physically move a tree or a boulder. But in a way, that's what God has done by putting us together in church, isn't it? As a group of people to deal with life. We're not actually on our own on this journey. He's brought us together so we can help each other, pray for each other. Isaiah says, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. One person might not be able to move a tree, but a lot of people working together could move a tree. Yeah? And that's really how obstacles are removed. You know, as we talk to each other, as we share our obstacles, we admit our weaknesses, our problems, areas, we pray about those things together, God can step in and make a difference. And this is what James, I think, means when he talks in these verses. I'm actually going to read verses 13 to 16 from James chapter 5, even though there's just verse 16 on the screen. These verses say, is any one of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I think, you know, tonight we've got the opportunity to build up the road. We can build each other up through encouragement, through listening, through taking the time to be with each other, through caring and praying for each other. Paul said to the Thessalonians, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. At the end of the service, you know, stay, have a drink together, talk about your needs. James says that if we're in trouble or we're ill, we should talk about these things. We should ask for prayer. We should confess our sins to each other. You know, that's talking about the obstacles, isn't it? The temptations. We're not pretending that everything's perfect when it's not. We're being real and honest. And we admit that we can't do the journey that we call life on our own. God doesn't want us to do this journey on our own. He wants us to be together because we need each other. That's why God made the church, so that we don't have to journey on our own, so that we're part of something bigger, so that we belong to God's family. And we can help each other to remove the obstacles. We can work together to remove obstacles. You know, when I go shopping, I often have to ask people to get me things off the top shelf because I can't reach the top shelf. Yeah? Now, I could just stand there looking helpless and being too proud to say, you know, I need that thing. But over the years, I've learned it's a lot easier and quicker just to ask somebody else, can you pass me that down, please? Can you reach that for me? You know, but so often we are too proud to admit to each other, aren't we, that we're struggling in an area or we don't always get it right. We don't want to talk about our weaknesses. We only want to talk about our strengths. But Paul said, I'll boast about my weaknesses because when I'm weak, then Christ's power is strong in me. God wants us to work together, to clear obstacles, to prepare the way for the Lord, to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What might be impossible for one person to do isn't impossible when we work together as the church, when we help each other. At the moment, we're preparing for this Christmas event that we're doing for Narnia, and we're making banners to do it. I say we're making banners because I can't make a banner to save my life. Okay, I know what I'd like the banners to look like. I kind of know how to do it, but then actually physically doing it, it just like collapses and looks like a mush. You know, I need other people to help me. There are things that I could do that you can't do and things that I can't do that you can do. We need each other. So we don't have to be stuck in the desert tonight. We can work together. We can walk this narrow road with Jesus by encouraging each other, helping each other, and praying for each other. You maybe think that it doesn't matter very much whether you pray for people, but it does. Your prayers for each other matter. We've got Patting Hospital, Betty Not Well, church members who need our prayers. And then there's lots of people that we know, our neighbours, our friends, family, who need our prayers. And as we pray for them, we can be removing the obstacles effectively from that road so that they can rise up again and walk on. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14 says, encourage the disheartened or the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. That's our mission today, I think, as we seek to walk in right paths for the Lord. Amen.